What's going on, all you podcasters? Stone Cold Steve Austin coming at you, reminding you to check out this kick-ass event going down Friday, March the 16th. For those of you who don't know off the top of your head, that's 316. Some numbers that mean a whole damn lot to Stone Cold Steve Austin. What we got going on is the Four Heads Brewery is going to be presenting Citywide Sounds Rock Paper Podcast Edition, and it's going down at the Old Rock House. Right there, you're going to see the Hillary Fitz Band. What? The Cara Louise Band. What? And Nick Gussman. They're going to be performing. Tickets are only $7, and $1 each of those tickets are going to the Citywide Charities. So get off your asses Friday night if you ain't doing nothing and head down to the Old Rock House for some kick-ass rock and roll and little rock paper podcast hosted by my buddy Shane Presley. And that's the bottom line, because I said so.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I am super excited to welcome Freddie D'Angelo Studios to the show. They are now a proud sponsor, and if you don't know Freddie D'Angelo Studios, they are a full-service media production company based out of St. Louis and serving clients worldwide, where if you can dream it, they can create it. Check out FDS all over your social media. You can get involved with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out FreddieDeAngelo.com for all your video and photo needs. If you haven't met Freddie yet, you've probably seen him around shows or seen some of his work online. He's just been doing some amazing things with his camera. So get involved. Check it all out. Again, FreddieDeAngelo.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, I'm Mikey.
Hi, I'm Ray.
Hi, I'm Graham.
And we're Hookie.
And we love you.
You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, over in Alton, Illinois today. The guys of Hookie. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, man. This is exciting, man. Like, this is our first time meeting. I mean, Ray's three times.
My third time.
Yeah, so, but this is the first time getting to meet the rest of you guys, and we got a brand new record to talk about and a lot of exciting things. So, I thought this would be a lot of fun to get to sit down and catch up and get to know more about what Hookie's up to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you guys want to properly introduce yourselves for those listening?
I guess I'll go. Hi, I'm Mikey. I play the bass guitar and vocals, and that's pretty much my gig. I was going to go a direction with that, but I thought I'd keep it PG.
Well, it is on the internet, so you know, you can feel free to...
My wife might be listening, right. So I think I'll keep it PG.
Good idea. I'm Graham. I play guitar and sing vocals. I play vocals like Mikey. Mikey plays vocals.
I play vocals all day.
Yeah. I'm Ray. I'm the drummer, and I beat things with sticks.
PG, dude. PG. Yeah.
Sorry. I beat on drums and cymbals.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
This, like I said, this is, it's always fun for me. Like, it's kind of crazy to be doing a show for about, you know, almost 4 years, and I'm still getting around to meeting new bands and all the time. So that's very exciting for me to just, like again, constantly new music coming out of our St. Louis area and stuff. And you were telling me you guys have been at it for a little while, right? A couple years, and... going through some lineup changes and things, but let's talk about some of the how we got here today, some of the backstory of how Hookie came to be.
Well, we pretty much started collaborating 2013. Our first show was
the same day that George Jones passed away, which is kind of strange, but We'll always remember that day. That was our first gig across the street.
Here I think he was our promo pick for the show, actually.
Yeah, he was actually on our first flyer as a pick. Like a really cool picture of George Jones with a cigarette and the sunglasses. It's tight. Google it.
Google it, yeah.
I guess we kind of started out amongst different groups. We had played a couple shows together in our previous projects. And I was bartending at a local bar called Shea Marilyn here in Alton. And Graham and his drummer at the time, Scotty Robertson, were doing kind of a duo thing in the bar side. And on every time they'd come through, if the night was slow, my manager would say, "Hey, Mikey, go get your bass and sit in with these guys." So her name's Kim Luker, and she kind of got the ball rolling for us. We kind of had already talked about doing it, but she really pushed the boulder down the hill.
Yeah.
So after that, we started really getting some songs on the list, and unfortunately, Scotty had a workman's comp issue, so he couldn't be playing out in the bars. So we picked up a buddy of ours, Aaron McCoy, to fill in while he was out. And Aaron brought so much to the table that by the time Scotty was ready to come back, we literally could not let Aaron go. I mean, he had so much of our material that he sang himself, and not to mention he's just an all-around rad dude to just hang out with. So he ended up picking up percussion and a little bit of guitar and harmonica, and Scotty came back on the drums, and they'd do a switch. Scotty would play the drums, Aaron would play the drums. Sometimes they'd switch in the middle of songs.
It was pretty funny.
It was awesome. Those were like really good times. It was just friends there to party and make a little money on the side as well. And when Aaron decided to move to Texas to help cure cancer, which is a little more important than playing bar gigs in Alton, Illinois, Scotty decided he didn't really want to stick around. And we picked up a couple other people. And we did that for about a year with Tyler Pinnell and Aaron Joe Paddlefoot Weber. I don't know what it
is. She's recently married. She played with us, and she's a great singer, fiddle player, and we played about a year on and off with her. But we were going more, then we got Ray in the band, and we started to go more into a rock direction, a heavier, and we just wanted to go with the power trio.
Yeah. So how long is this? Three then?
Three of us. So, Ray, when did you...
I joined in 2016. The end of October 2016 was my first gig with these guys. And at the time, Aaron Joe was still playing with us. We actually had a percussionist sometimes, too. But then we really started kind of going in the direction of, like Graham was saying, going into the direction of more of a rock-based group. So we decided to do the trio thing. And it's a blast doing a rock trio. I mean, we do a lot of cover gigs, so it's fun to take songs that usually have a lot more instruments in them and try to, you got to be at the top of your game, really, to play with three people and make it good, make it fill out like it should, so.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's kind of a challenge, but we love the challenge.
Right, yeah.
Because I think we're all good enough players, not bragging or anything, but we're all good enough players to get by with it and push ourselves,
right,
and stretch out and improv. And when you got two guys on the same mind frame as you and you want to improv or just change directions in the middle of the song, just look at them, and then they go, and it's fun, and I think the crowd catches that.
I think that comes with the experience of playing with each other, too, not in a weird way. But you're almost anticipating what the other person is thinking, especially Graham and I, with him being the only guitarist and me being the bass. There's times where Graham has to be the rhythm guitarist, but then when he's moving on to the lead, now I'm the rhythm guitarist. So I think that that is a good position for me, because as being self-taught, I've always been in a position of do I just root note it like most bass players do, or do I come out of the pocket a little bit and be a little more of a lead player? So it, when it comes down to being rhythm, I can stick with the pocket and stay on the root notes. But then once Graham is covering the rhythm, now I have a chance to branch out and be a little more of a lead bassist.
Yeah. I was hanging out with these guys the other night, and on their bio they wrote lead bass player, lead bass and lead guitar, and all the, I just, everybody was lead drums and everything was lead, so that's awesome. It made me laugh,
but it's a great idea.
Yeah. But yeah, man, so imagine Ray, you're saying playing covers and stuff, imagine, you know, a lot of those kind of gigs and learning other people's styles and everything, and like you're saying, like playing together, like learning each other's stuff, you know, like how you guys play together and stuff. All that, I'm sure, helped refine what you guys were going into to make an original record and stuff. And like,
for sure.
And a lot of the on the album 600, a lot of the songs we had written a year prior to Ray joining the band with Tyler Pinnell, and he was a more of a jazz hand drummer. He went to school as a drum major, and to get him out of the jazz mode, you know, really work him into a rock band, it took a little bit of work to give him that heavy hand. But once he got it, we were pretty much rolling with it, and we wrote a good portion of the songs, but they were still just felt incomplete. We weren't sure if the direction was there, if they were defined or not. And when Tyler subsequently had moved to Texas as well, not to cure cancer but to further his education in drums, we pulled in Ray, and Ray brought in an aspect of it that more of a professionalism that really drove the songs to evolve into what they are now. They really are completely different. You know, the skeleton was there, but Ray added the muscles and tendons to it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a great compliment.
Did you guys know each other before the band? Or?
Yeah, me and Mikey like pretty much grew up together, worked a Blockbuster video when that was a thing.
Which we're going to start a band with our old manager called the Blockbusters.
Yeah. That was through like what, end of high school, college? No, college probably.
Yeah, college era. Yeah. About 2002, 2006.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. So, but I mean, I'd met you before when you were in high school. I don't know if you remember that, but you always played bass, always played drums. We were always like, man, we got to get together and play.
We always
and
talked
never
about music.
Did.
Yeah, and this never happened.
It never happened. And then when this opportunity came for me,
I knew I wanted Ray. I wanted Ray before, when Aaron had left, I wanted Ray. But Graham had already talked to Tyler. And meeting Tyler, I was like, yeah, Tyler's awesome. Well, I had already met Tyler, but, you know, it really fell into place. And the timing was perfect, because Ray was busy recording.
Yeah. I was with Midnight Reveille at the time, and we were pretty busy. We were recording our second EP at that time, and then we were also, you know, playing out a lot, so. But then the timing was perfect for that too, because that Midnight Reveille kind of faded away when our lead singer moved out of state, and then I was looking for, you know, another gig to another band to get on, and that's when I happened to see you guys at Pump House, and they're like, Mikey was like, yeah, we'll probably be needing a drummer here soon because Tyler's moving.
That was his last show.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, man, I'm in. So.
Very cool.
And I threw the bug out there at Ray.
Yeah.
You know, we may be looking for a drummer. So he was expecting it. And I couldn't ask for a better situation. You know, I think we weren't, if he had joined a year before, I don't think he would have stuck around. I think we were really ready for him. You know, like I said, it was just perfect timing.
Nice. Yeah.
That's not a drum pun at all.
No, it took a while. Like any band, it took a while to kind of mold and find out where each other's, what works, and what direction we want to go, and playing all these cover gigs and finding out how everyone plays live and what works for the band and what we're good at and what we're not so good at.
Yeah.
So I think we're there now. This album is like our first of hopefully many albums.
Yeah.
So 600 is now available. You can come out on St. Patrick's Day, yep. March 17th, for the big release party over at Bottle and Barrel here in Alton, Illinois.
Really cool venue.
Yeah.
It's a great big stage.
Just an evening with Hookie, or?
There'll be two other bands with the DiBiase. They are also, are they a trio? They are.
I think so.
The instrumental, I guess they're out of St. Louis. The DiBiase, I know the bass player real well, Dave Winkler. And they're going to be DiBiase and then Polly Shades, who are buddies of ours, who actually share this practice room with us. DiBiase's got the coolest heavy riffs, man. They are just, it's kind of like, kind of Sabbath-y, Melvin's kind of, Dave calls it motorcycle rock.
And it's all instrumental.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's cool. But it takes you on a freaking journey. I've been following them a long time. I've seen a couple of members come and go, or at least one for sure. And I think they're just freaking awesome. I think they're a four-piece, actually. I might be wrong about that. I think they are a four-piece, or at least they used to be. And there was no hesitation when we were putting this show together. We knew the two bands we definitely had to have, and they were one of them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then Polly Shades, our buddies, are, like I said, we share this room with them, and they are more like, what do they call themselves? Surf? Psychedelic surf?
Psychedelic surf.
Yeah, it's rock. Yeah, it's great stuff.
And it literally is like taking a time machine back to the 60s. Yeah, they do the whole oil wheel show, light show, and everything, and man, it is a great experience. If you've not seen Polly Shades, you have to.
Yeah.
Especially if you're into the old time, like, kind of, I wouldn't
garage
say
class. Surf.
Yeah.
Garage. Psychedelic kind of.
Yeah.
Which is right up my alley. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually, both those bands have elements that we love, so.
And they're on different sides of the spectrum. I think it's a great mix for us because we have that little bit of experimental side that, you know, the 60s style, but then we have that heavy rock sound that DiBiase brings to the table too, you know.
Very cool.
Yeah, we might be in the middle, maybe.
I feel like we're in the middle,
like that.
For sure.
But it's going to be, it's going to be fun. They're both great bands.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be a great live show, live music, all original stuff too, so.
Yeah. Is there a cover charge?
$5 cover charge.
$5 cover charge, and once you're in the door, you can get the CD for $5 or a download card for $5.
Which normally the disc is $10, so we knock the cost off with the admission.
Very cool. Yeah, yeah. That's that sounds like a whole lot of fun. And you also, if you can't make it out that night, you are playing again on. The 18th, the next night?
Sunday afternoon, the very next day, we're playing at the Regal Beagle in Godfrey, Illinois. It's our first time there. No, it'll be our second time there.
No, it's our first.
No, first time.
We played it this Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll text you.
Well, I didn't know that.
I'll remind you.
I think I might be there.
We might be a two-piece
that
day.
Yeah, it might be a new lineup.
No, I mean, I'll be there. I might be drinking, though.
So then after that, later in the month, we're playing at Deutz Village in
Pontoon Beach,
the 24th.
I want to set a little bit of a scenario or a little backdrop here on Deutz. Pontoon Beach is like the other side of town, you know. For us anyway, we don't really, any of us have any reason to be in Granite City or Pontoon Beach. I used to work in Granite City, but other than that, we never hang out there. So going into the last Deutz gig, I was not sure what to expect. And that show was one of the most fun shows that I've had in a long time.
It's a blast.
The crowd was into it. They really enjoyed it. I was expecting a country crowd. They were a rock and roll crowd. And they were just partying, having a good time. There were no negative vibes whatsoever, mm-hmm. other than one lady who really wanted some
Missouri. She wanted to hear
a song by Missouri.
Moving On by Missouri.
She hates us because I don't even know who Missouri is. I know where Missouri is, but I don't know who Missouri is. And then she requested Van Halen, mm-hmm. which is not in our repertoire. It could easily be in our repertoire, but we've not.
I grew up on, I love Van Halen. I just can't sing that, you know.
And we just don't do it.
So many bands do it way better than we probably
do. The songs that we could do, every other band plays. So why would we tackle it? But maybe we'll add a little bit just for her. I don't think she'll ever come back, though. She was mad at us.
It is funny how sometimes at shows people have, like, an idea for a request. Mm-hmm. And then, like, just, you know, if you don't play it, then they get mad, like you're saying, or whatever. Like, they just get... But they're, like, insistent that you play this song. Yeah.
Instead. Well, you know, if you play an instrument, you know every song that's ever been written. So why wouldn't you play it?
Exactly.
I got a buddy also does, like, dueling piano stuff. And, mm-hmm. like, he always texts or he puts pictures up on Facebook of, like, his requests. And he gets all, you know, the same, like, Sweet Caroline and, you know...
I'm so glad I'm not a pianist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just always makes us laugh just because of how, like, it's such a cliche, you know, now request, like, if people want to hear and stuff. Yeah. So
I get the weirdest stuff as a bass player. You know, you mentioned the pianist style, their requests. As a bass player, I get, you're a good bass player. You don't need Primus. Why would we play Primus? I love Primus, don't get me wrong, but... What in our set makes you think we're going to play Primus?
Is that or the people yelling slap at the bass and all that?
Oh, yeah. I hate that movie just because it's a good movie. I love that movie, but I can't take it.
There's a great video, if you guys haven't seen it.
And I never slap the bass.
There's a great video from this website on it's on Facebook too, the called Hard Times, and they just make all these, like, goofy videos, sort of like The Onion, but most of them are music related. And and one of them was like bass players it was kind of like a Alcohol Anonymous kind of meeting, like, setting, like, they're all around, but they're all bass players, and they're, like, underappreciated bass players. And so they were, like, all talking, and that's when one of the guys says, slap at the bass, how about I punch you in your face?
That's awesome.
So, yeah. You have to check that out. But
you have to say that next time someone tells you that.
I'll remember it for sure.
Well, like I said, we do have 600. We wanted to share some songs, let you get a sneak peek of what these guys have been up to. You said Exceptionally Good is what we're going to push as the single right now.
Yeah, we all love that one.
We've gotten the most feedback from that one, too. I think, like, our early release, you know, just to test the waters, a lot of our musician friends really like that. So not to be confused with the website musician friend.
Yeah.
Sooner or later,
Is there any stories around the song or the lyrics?
Exceptionally good. The song, the music is in a time signature, a five time signature, which I think came out of us jamming.
Take five,
that jazz standard. We just kind of started playing around actually with Aaron McCoy, and then Tyler, who was a jazz guy, was all about it. So, and then we started to write. I had a riff in five, and then that came up, and then it goes from five to six to five. It sounds like you need a calculator to listen, but it's easy to listen to. But yeah. I didn't even realize it went to six until.
Yeah, Ray had to call us out on it. He's like, "Well, that actually goes to a six timing," and.
It grew.
I actually sat there and counted it. Oh, damn, he's right.
Yeah, when we were preparing to go into the studio, because I usually just play. I don't really think in time signatures that much. But I had to prepare for that, you know, for the recording. So I was getting my metronome and everything ready. I'm like, this isn't going to work. I can't, like, switch my metronome in the middle of a song. And I don't have one that you can do that with, which I know they exist or whatever. So I was like, you know, I'll just have to set it a different way than I normally do, which was fine, but that made me think, I'm like, man, I didn't even realize that. Like, I've been playing the whole time, you know, I've been playing the drum part of it. I should know that. I should know that. Didn't even think about it. Yeah, exactly.
As a bass player, I should have
known. The rhythm section. We wrote the song.
Didn't realize it.
But I guess the lyrics are kind of related to just telling somebody, like, no matter how good you are at something, if you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, it's going to catch up with you. It's basically that in a nutshell. And it's no matter how exceptionally good you are, you're going to get caught, or you're going to get hung up or strung up.
And as a just a icing on the cake, I thought maybe a little bit of motorcycle action in the background.
Graham just took off on his motorcycle.
He's out.
As a little bit of extra to it, I thought, like, let's do some ahs in the song, but let's do them like we're zombies. And I don't think Graham was really keen on the idea, but when you try to make it like melodic zombies, it's not too bad. And I feel like that actually falls into place with the theme of the song as well.
I have an 8-year-old in my house who loves that song. That's her favorite song because it sounds like zombies.
And my daughter loves it too, because there's three songs on the album now that she said, sounds like Halloween, Daddy. and one that you were talking about, Regret, is that's to her, the name is not Regret, it's Halloween. and so Exceptionally Good just fell into that mix with her, and she loves it.
Yeah.
And she's only three.
Yeah, some of those songs have like a darker side, and I don't even consider us like a dark band, but some of these, it just came out. Some of them are kind of like The Ball Bounces. I don't think has got any dark side to it, but Exceptionally Good, and a couple of the other ones have like a little dark blues kind of thing to them.
That
we stumbled upon, I guess. I don't know.
Well, a little bit of secret behind the album, and you're only going to hear it here, is that it is a concept album. And the first song in the album, The Ball Bounces, it kind of sets the stage of the rest of the album. It's like the storytelling song that really, like, has not much to do with the concept of the album itself, but just setting the pace for the concept, I would say. Does that make sense? That this is more than just songs on a disc. It's a story.
There is a theme. There is a story to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we will take that secret to our grave. And that is also a pun from the album.
There is a line in the song. It's called Take It to the Grave. Yeah. So, yeah. But it's there.
Yeah. I told you guys I liked Regret a lot because it was... sort of the other end of what you guys can do too, like you're saying, a lot of this record is rock, and it's a lot of pretty heavy stuff. That's sort of Regret's a little bit more, kind of taps into some of that bluesier side of
a little more melodic.
Yeah.
Don't let your sky grow dark. No, don't let trouble leave you short of the mark. Still the same. You run and play and lose. Lose like a child. A child in the park. I only had a taste, but it went to your head. It went to your head. I only had a taste, but it went to your head. It went to your head. If I had us to shiver and bite. You wipe the potion from your lips, but to me it's still inside. I only had a taste, but it went to your head. It went to your head. I only had a taste, but it went to your head. Went to your head. If I had my way, your head. If I had my way, your head. If I had my way, don't lose all you ever had over. To your head, went to your head.
And it sounded real nice, yeah. Like I said, I like that song a lot. And you got anything you want to share around this tune?
Regret?
Yeah.
That's... No.
It just goes along with the story. Yeah. We came up with that groove. The music, you said, it's kind of bluesier. It's a little more R&B or soul, maybe. And we actually did it kind of as a joke when we got in this room once. And Mike had all these.
That's right.
Mike got some new lights, like disco lights, like stage lights. And we put them on in the practice room, turned everything on, had all these crazy lights on, and I started doing like some kind of.
That was the inspiration for writing music.
Yeah.
We have fluorescent light. On the podcast, you can't see the room we're in, but it's fluorescent lights. And it's basically fluorescent.
It's just an office space, literally.
It just pulls the life out of anything that touches it. So you turn these lights off and you put on some of the disco lights. Suddenly, you're in the mood to make some serious magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, disco lights. We're up on the sixth floor. We got a nice view out the window. We had the lights on, a couple of beers. And so I think we started Regret, actually, that groove.
That might have been our first song.
Kind of as a joke. But then I started doing these chords, and then Mikey and Tyler came in, and we're like, well, that actually sounds pretty good. And so we just went with that.
Nice. Yeah.
Was that our first song?
I think the ball bounces might have been.
Yeah, yeah.
And that might have been pre-disco lights.
Maybe.
Yeah. You guys did name it the record 600 after your practice space, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the space not only holds a lot of symbolism with us, it actually has a lot to do with the concept of the album as well, which is also a secret that we won't go into any detail of.
Yeah. Yeah. You, where'd you guys end up recording the record at?
We recorded at Sawhorse Studios with Jason McDyer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I love Jason.
He's great. Man. He's the best. That's
Oh, you know Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, for a friend of the show, yeah.
Yeah. So that's awesome. And that's the third time I've recorded there, because we did twice with Midnight Reveille, so that's basically when they were talking about recording, I'm like, yep, I know the place. We've got to go to Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the man.
Oh, yeah. We went with Ray's suggestion on that. But yeah, when we got there, I think like within an hour, I was like, okay, I totally trust Jason's, because Jason's about, he might be a little younger than me, but he's like, he's on the same level as where we are, like as far as like what's going to sound good, what it needs. And I trust him musically. Like if we wanted a suggestion, I'd ask him and he'd give it to me, you know. It was very comfortable, very professional though, but very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Jason was like having another member of the band. Seriously. That you just met that day. Yeah. It was awesome. I mean, he is playing an instrument with his board.
Yeah.
I mean, just, and the computer, I mean, just guy knows his stuff. It's amazing.
The time we were done, I was like, you're like sitting next to a magician or a
wizard.
Yeah, I was like, anything I ask, you can just do, you know.
Most of the time, he's already done it. Like,
yeah.
He's already like, knows what to do before you even come in back into the room and be like, oh, it's not there anymore.
That was a specific thing, actually, that stood out to me. We had missed the beat on one of the songs, and I can't remember which one it was.
I think it was Regret, actually.
Was it? Okay. Well, we missed the, you know, just that one beat, just barely, but we did miss it. And we go back, and he had stepped out of the room, but he had it playing, and we're listening back, and, oh, hey, we didn't miss it. Like, it was right on. Well, it started over, and about that time he's walking in the room, and we're listening for it, and we're like, yeah, we did hit it. And he's like, no, you didn't. I fixed it before you guys were even able to walk back in. So he literally is a wizard.
Yeah.
Not that, I mean, the album is not real overproduced. There's a couple of mistakes that he would tweak for us, because we're on a limited budget. We don't have a big budget, and he'd fix a couple
things. Also, what we wanted too, because we're more of a live band, like our live show is where it's at, so we wanted that to come through on the album. We told Jay, that's basically what we told Jason, that we wanted it to be a little more raw, not super polished.
And I think because of that, there's elements to the album that even now I'm just now picking up that came from him. There's subtle delays or echoes or whatever you might say, or that I never really even, well, we didn't even talk to him about doing. And it's like listening to one of your members really thoroughly for the first time and hearing all the things that he's actually doing.
Yeah.
And I'm still picking up on those months later. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I had total trust in Jason. It was great. Totally comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't never recorded any music, obviously, but just my time in that studio I did a podcast over there with him and Preston, and you just walk in the door and you just feel comfortable.
Yeah,
you feel at ease in that room and everything, and just it's a nice space. So yeah. Check out some
great atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's like
a great ass.
Jason does have a great ass. That's right.
Now, I was a little. That's my first time singing in a real studio.
Yeah.
So I was a little nervous. I didn't want to tell these guys because I've been singing live for a long time. But
he fakes it a lot.
I hadn't been in a studio in a long, long time, and I hadn't sang in a studio, and I had no issues.
It's been a long time for me to be there in the studio session and or atmosphere, and luckily we had Ray who had just been there, so that helped out. The first sessions, you can almost hear it a little bit, you know, which is why we had to tweak a lot of the first session songs the next time we had gone in, because the second time we were much more comfortable. We knew what to expect. We knew Jason a little better. And I think we, on a personal level, individually, we were in a better place. You know, there was a lot on each of our minds going in before on the first session.
Yeah.
And then being able to take those tracks home and chew on them for a while and really, like, absorb what we had done, it gave us that that motivation or confidence, really, to really drive it the next time through. And I felt the second session not only was more comfortable, but I felt like we were at the top of our game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, we recorded four tracks. We recorded four tracks first in like a weekend.
In June.
Yeah. In June, and then we came back in, when did we come back?
September.
September.
Yes. Yeah. And then we came back in September and laid down four more tracks.
November we were doing the polishing.
Yeah. We originally were just going to do four or five songs and just do an EP. But
it went so well.
It went so well, and we were so close with the other.
And we had the money.
Yeah, we gigged so much this past year. I mean, we did a lot of gigs, but that's, you know, that's paid for the album, so.
Yeah, we played a lot of cover songs and sold a lot of t-shirts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Made a lot of drunk people dance.
Yeah. You
know. We got a lot of dudes laid.
That's somebody. No, but I had lost my father the week before we went in the first session, so that was a little tough to get through, but you know, made it work. But I was way, like Mikey said, I was way more comfortable the second time, just because we knew and we were tighter as a band. We knew what was going on when we went in there, but I didn't want to leave.
Yeah,
I wanted to sleep on the floor.
Yeah,
and stay
seriously.
There.
Yeah.
Wake up and record some new songs.
These guys don't know, but I actually broke in the next day and I did sleep there.
Well, you can you can come pick up your copy on March 17th at Bottle and Barrel, right?
Yep.
And you can I'm sure any other gig after that, you can you guys will have them available.
Absolutely.
you said might be expecting some new shirts coming soon and stuff too.
Yeah, definitely. We should have new shirts by the show. We'll have stickers and hopefully buttons. We'll have to hit a Morgan, see if we can.
Mikey always gives away free hugs at every gig.
They're sweaty, but they are free.
They are free.
Beggars can't be choosers.
St. Patrick's Day night. It's going to be a fun night. It's going to be a fun, fun night.
Yeah. And you can follow along with Hooky all over your social media. Keep up with more dates, announcements, and all that stuff. So,
hookymusic.com.
Yeah. What all can they expect at the website?
Just
just got the dates.
Oh, you can download the album there. It's got pictures and videos. Some promo videos are still on there that we had done for the album release. And
hopefully soon we'll have an actual merch set up too, where you can just buy merch straight from the website.
Nice.
It's kind of weird. There's a little more behind it than just like setting up selling merch, you know. Who's going to process the orders, you know? It's a lot to do with that. But we're working on that.
Yeah. You can also like preview the, or pre-listen, whatever, the album on our website too. So you can check it out on there. Obviously, you can check it out on like Google Play, iTunes, Amazon, pretty much every streaming site you can think of.
You might get a different hookie on
there's
iTunes.
There's this totally rad DJ. It goes by Hooky, and it's because he has, like, a hook for a hand or something?
He's got...
Two hooks.
Oh, he's got two...
I think he lost his arms and his legs, and he's got two hooks for his arms.
So
and
that's...
And he's a DJ out of Australia, I think. DJ Hooky.
That's crazy.
So our stuff might show up as him.
So we're getting a switch. I think they've switched a couple of them. I think Shazam still has us under him. But
I would say, like, I'm fine with it. You know, we'll get him some more followers. But he has way more followers than we do. So maybe he'll get us some followers.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Actually, he's pretty amazing for what he's
dealing
with. Yeah. But don't confuse. So on our socials, we're Hooky St. Louis.
All right.
So Instagram, Twitter, and...
Yeah, you said promotional videos. Is there any plans to do any, you know, like proper music videos?
Oh yeah, for these? Absolutely. We have a guy, our buddy Chris. He does a lot of videography. I've been talking to him about it, but I didn't want to jump into it until we have a good plan. And we had to pick out a single. I think that was like step one. Which song are we going to do with this? And I think now that we are kind of solid on Exceptionally Good, I have a direction I'd like to go, and I haven't discussed with these guys what it is yet, but
I want to record a video on the rooftop of this building.
We'll definitely
right here.
Do a rooftop video a la Beatles.
Yeah
because there's people up there right now. They're celebrating the Maya Alton Small Business Revolution victory today. But yeah, there's a, you can go up on the 7th floor, and
we definitely have plans for at least two music videos coming up this year.
Yeah. I always thought that'd be cool. You mentioned the Beatles and that concert and stuff, like with over at Pops, like how they have the roof there, and then like the big parking lot. I was like, man, that'd be like a perfect for a big rooftop concert and stuff. Like,
it would be.
Yeah.
They do outside shows there a lot, but it's not for the roof.
They've set up in the parking lot, but I mean, like the roof, I was like, man,
that'd be perfect.
Yeah, it'd be fun up there, do something like that.
And they could save money on buying the mobile stage.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, I got to hand it to those mobile stage guys. They will put that shit right where you want it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm a truck driver, so I appreciate that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Appreciates a good truck parking.
You guys have any plans to tour with us at all, or do anything like that?
Well, we almost did.
Yeah.
We had a gig in Paducah, Kentucky this last weekend.
It fell through.
Yeah. That was going to be our shop the album around, you know, outside of the Alton area, see what works and what doesn't. And the first act that was supposed to go on, they were the quote-unquote touring act. They had to cancel unknown reasons, but whatever it was, the venue felt it wasn't really necessarily worth it without the, I mean, we were the headliner technically, but they were kind of the focus of the show. So they decided to, just cut the show off, but they expressed that they were interested in having us at another time. So we may be doing that in the future.
Yeah,
but definitely regional. Going to.
Yeah,
we're looking at, like, you know, we've never played in St. Louis, so that's something that's got to change. We're definitely going to play a couple shows in the city. We've talked about kind of a close road trip to like Indianapolis or Kansas City.
Sure. Some Chicago videos.
We've got a nice festival we're playing this summer called Framley Fest.
Oh yeah, Framley Fest. You could count that as a tour.
Yeah, that's true. We did that last year.
Was that Effingham, Illinois?
Yeah, Effingham.
And that's August 3rd and 4th. And one of the Dave Constantine from the Grateful Dead is going to be headlining one night. Then the Schwag is there the next night. We're not sure what night we're playing there yet, but we played there last year, and it was good vibes, good people. It was a great time. We're a little more rocking than a lot of those other bands were, but they seem to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just think, like, you know, you're saying the idea of going to Kentucky, I think it's just a fun thing, just get some fresh perspective.
People exactly.
That, you know, first time they ever heard anything from you, and, like, see how they respond to it and stuff. But
3 or 4 hour drive.
Yeah, or, just be fun to get out there and put some feelers out there in some other towns. And and then, obviously, St. Louis is so ideal to tour out of, right in the middle of the map. So, yeah, that'd be fun. So, hopefully... get some more dates on the calendar going into the rest of the year, and Hooky coming to a town near you.
Another thing is we get so booked up here, right around Alton and Grafton and Wood River and just this whole area. The calendar's like, it gets filled up real quick.
Yeah, it's hard to find a good time to branch out.
Because the people that come to us first are all the people local, and then people from, like, from other areas want it. We're like, well, we're already booked. So, right. But... you know, we'll work some in. We'll definitely work some in.
That's a good thing about some of the places that we play. They understand what we're doing. And if, as long as we give them some notice, they're not too upset if we have to reschedule or move some stuff around. It hasn't always been like that because we haven't been in this situation very long. But they're really good, really awesome people, and really try to work with us as much as they can and we can, you know.
Definitely. Well, cool, man. I'm excited. Like I said, the record sounds great, and it'd be fun to get a music video together for Exceptionally Good. And
yeah,
I know a couple of girls who do some serious movie makeup.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking a little bit of Night of the Living Dead for our first video.
The zombie part. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know where you're going with that.
Keeping the theme going.
Now the secret's out.
Right. Yeah. Well, this, you know, it's on here now, so you have to do it.
I'm trying to hit that Walking Dead demographic there.
Yeah, while it's still hot.
Yeah. I think it's failing. I saw, like, the Rotten Tomatoes reviews, like, every season has, like,
gone down
every year. Like, this last season was, like, the lowest point it's ever been.
Oh, man. We just came off of the mid-season premiere. I'm happy with where it's at. I don't care what Rotten Tomatoes says. I cried. I don't cry. I cried. Everybody's been calling for Carl's death, and I'm like, why? It's Carl.
Spoiler alert, people.
Oh, God, yeah, sorry. I'm sure they've already watched it by the time this is out. So. And if not, then you're not a true fan.
Yeah. Well, again, get involved, everything, at hookymusic.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Come on out to Bottle and Barrel on the 17th, and what was the 18th at?
The 18th at Regal Beagle in Godfrey, Illinois.
Yeah,
I'm sure we're going to be feeling our best after the Saturday night.
I won't be hungover at all.
We'll be fine. We don't start till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, so we'll be fine.
Very cool.
I drink a lot of Pedialyte.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, guys. This has been a lot of fun getting to. Can hang out. So
thanks
for doing
this.
Thank you.
I'll see you guys soon. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. This is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out. Come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.